I find myself, the older I get, the more I find myself praying. And
with each passing day, I find
the necessity and the want-to-ism, if that were a word, I just made it up, to pray. And sometimes it's the same thing I'm asking him for. And that's all right, because he knows our needs. And I'm reminded of President Reagan, who, when he was on Air Force One, so many times he was ridiculed by the press for being asleep. But his closest associates will tell you that that man prayed all the time. And when he had his eyes closed and his head down, most always it was praying and he was not sleeping. And so when you see someone maybe mumbling to themselves under their breath, like, if you see me do that, don't have me put away just yet. Or if I've got my eyes closed out somewhere and you say, well, he's asleep. Not every time. Sometimes we're praying. If you have your Bibles tonight, we do feel led on this message tonight. We feel of it's of importance, not because we're saying it. I preached on the same subject a couple of years ago at a different church, and I have come to the Word of God. All of it is very important. There's one verse in particular in this message tonight that I rely heavily upon in my life, and When we get to that message, you'll probably know, or to that verse. But before we get into the thrust of the message, we want to read something that relates to it over in the book of Acts. If y'all want to stand with us while we read three verses we find there in chapter 16. While I give you time to turn there, because when I don't get to preach much, my tendency is to rush. I want to get in a hurry, and I want to get as much said as I possibly can while I have the chance to do it. And sometimes I get in too big a hurry, and I've had people say, well, I'm still trying to find what verse you're on when you got through. So I'll try to be a little slower tonight. I won't promise you or guarantee you. I never do that with anything, because we can't do that in this life. But in this is not really the message, but it relates to it, and we'll go back to it in a little while. But in Acts 16 and 23, we find, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Let's go to more prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, as humbly as we know how, asking for your grace and your mercy in our lives. We pray, Lord, for all those that's our duty and need to pray for. We pray, Lord, for those that are sick tonight. And we pray, Lord, for those of our military, wherever they are in this world, God, be with them. And we pray for their families. Lord, we live in imperilous times. We know that according to your word. Lord, we have to rely upon you and your leadership and your guidance. We pray tonight, Heavenly Father, for those that are bereaved, who have had a loved one to go out into eternity, even this week, Lord. We pray for those families. We pray your blessings upon our efforts tonight, Lord. That you bless the reading of your word. You've told us it would never return to you void. We pray, Heavenly Father, now as you go with us in the service, watch over us, bless our hearts together, and forgive us in any way. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in that particular scripture, we find that Paul and Silas and his company had come to that city, and they were preaching the gospel. They had cast a demon out of a damsel. She was demon-possessed. She was going around following Paul and him and agitating them. And so he got tired of that, and he cast that demon out in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And what this did was it infuriated the damsel's masters because they were making money on her. And if you won't get somebody mad, you take their money away and they'll get angry with you. And so what they did, they carried them to the magistrates. And the magistrates had Paul and Silas and his people. They rent their clothes off of them and beat them and put them in prison. And so we find that that's where they were, and it was not for doing something wrong. It was doing for something right. It was for doing the right thing. So keep that in mind as we talk about this subject a little bit later, later on. Now, over in Philippians chapter 4, and verse 10 through 13. We'd like to read some verses we find there shortly. We're not going to read them just yet, but we'll give you time to turn there. If we're be honest with ourselves tonight and talk about and think about where we are, we will find that we are, have been, or will be in one of the places I'm going to discuss with you tonight. And we will find in the Scripture that these places are some places that we don't really want to be. And they're places that are not comfortable to be in. But they're places that we are in our lives, every one of us, from time to time. Now, again, I felt led to give this message. I was not surprised when Brother Jeff called on me to and I am so thankful. And it's not me, but it's this word that I feel like that someone, I know I need it. I remind myself every day of this. But someone here, I think, especially needs to hear this tonight. And so it's important, and I think especially for young people. So it's the Word of God, nothing to do with me whatsoever. But we really need to rely upon God's Word. Now, before I read these verses, I want to give you a poor example, because that's the only kind I know how to give. But let's look at this for a second. If we were to leave here and go out to Interstate 40, and if we turn right, I think that's it. We would go, if we turned west, we'll say it that way, we would go, and we would finally wind up in the state of Arkansas. And if we went east, and we traveled long enough, and stayed on that highway, we would wind up in the state of North Carolina. Now, if we stopped in Nashville and we went south and we traveled for a while, we would wind up in the state of Alabama. And if we went north on 65 and traveled for a while, we would find ourselves in the state of Kentucky. And when you might be thinking right now, what in the world is he talking about? Well, listen, let's look at what Paul said here, and I'm going to maybe expand his words a little bit, but I think it's very applicable in our life. In verse 10, he said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you also were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content." Remember that. What state I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens in me. Now, we understand and know the state Paul's referring to here. But we're not going to limit it to that, because in my life experience, my own personal life, and the life of other individuals that I've come in contact with so many times, I find us all in a lot of different states And we're not going to cover them all, but we're going to list just a few. And you think about your life or someone else's, and you, if you think about it, you will say, yes, I'm there. Or yes, that person is there in that particular state. And the first one we want to think about, now before we think about that, let's think about this for a moment. When I mentioned these states, I talked about geographical states. And those are easily defined on a map. And they're easily defined traveling because when you enter, there's a big billboard sign that says, welcome to the state of whatever, to the great state of most of the time. Easy enough to find, easy enough to know where you are. That's not a problem. But there are times that we find ourselves in these other states, we don't have no boundary lines. We don't have no signs up saying you're now in the state of so-and-so. And so we need to figure out where we are and why we're there. And that's the two things we want to know about tonight, where we are and why we're there. Now, the first one, notice Paul mentioned the state he was in verse 11. But the first one we want to talk about tonight is the state of denial. Now, the state of denial is one that if I look at that and I find myself in a position where I think I'm nothing whatsoever wrong in my life, I'm just, everything is just exactly where it ought to be. There's nothing wrong whatsoever in my life. If you find yourself in that state, you're in a state of denial. And the reason is because, and I'm going to give you two examples, and that's a very, very, very dangerous state to be in. Let me tell you it is. A couple examples of that. One is a spiritual example. In 1 John 1 and 10, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So if I say I have not sinned, then I am in a state of denial because John said I've sinned. And if I say I've not, I've denied that I have sinned, I'm in a state of denial. Or if you say that, and you're in a state of denial. I don't care how close we are to God, we're not that close that we can't fall down on our knees and ask God to forgive us. And if we deny and say, well, I've done nothing wrong, well, I don't have to. I'm living a great Christian life. I'm comfortable in my life. There's nothing wrong. I'm where I ought to be. I'm living close. I'm going to church. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I don't need to do anything different. That's denial. That's a spiritual denial in our life. We need to look at that. We need to look and see what state we're in. Another one would be a physical denial. If we go to the doctor, and he tells us, he examines us, and he runs tests, and he says, I hate to tell you this, but you've got high cholesterol, or you got high blood pressure, or you got diabetes, or you got cancer, and you go home, and you say, I'm fine, nothing wrong with me, and you sweep that under the rug, and somebody comes up and asks you, well, how are you? What did the doctor say? He said, I'm doing great. Ain't nothing wrong with me whatsoever. I'm fine. Listen, that's a state of physical denial. People do that day in and day out. They will not face up to the fact that they have something physically wrong, and they deny that. That's dangerous. Dangerous to be in a state of denial. We're going to go through these states, but we're going to find out something important about being in them. The second one I want to discuss, and they're short, each one. I'm not talking long on them at all. This one we may know we're in a state of it. The second one is the state of despair. You ever been there? I have. You feel trapped? You feel like there's no way out? You feel like you're the only one there? Even your faith can be shaken. It can even lead you to a state of desperation. And it's a state people are in. You know, there's one thing unique about these states. I find Christians and non-Christians to be in them. I find Christians and non-Christians to be in these states. That's a remarkable thing, isn't it? That they apply to all. How do you know? Experience. Third state. I feel like I'm in this one all the time, the state of confusion. Counting in the days, drifting around, can't stay focused, things are not clear. You're drifting one minute and you're spinning the next. They got a saying for that, a modern day saying, dazed and confused. And that's what a lot of people are. They're in a state of confusion. They don't know where the door is to get out of it. They're caught in something and they're in a state and they're there and they don't know. And it's hard to think clearly when you're in that state. All of these states are difficult to be in, and they're difficult to get out of. Now, the fourth one is a state that's very hard for people to admit that they're in or have been in. It was me. And that's a state of depression. I've been there. And if you're honest, if you haven't been, trust me, you will be. You will be. If you love God, you'll get in a state of depression when you look around this world today and you see what's going on in this world. You can't help because we're in this body. Because we're in this body, these things happen to us regardless. This is a bad state now, I'm telling you. And it's the one I want to emphasize most. Because you feel helpless. You feel sad. You feel lonely. It's the lowest part of the valley you can be in. It's so low that you have to look up to see ants crawling around. That's how low it is in that valley. It's low. It's a state where if people are not honest with themselves, they'll say, well, I've never been there and never will be. And that's the wrong way. That's the wrong attitude. And the reason I discovered it, and the reason I want you to know about it if you've never experienced it, is because when you do discover it, it'll be easier for you. And when you, and as we get to why you're there, you'll find out why you're there. And it'll make it a lot more bearable. Another thing you think about in that state, you think, well, I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to be in this. I'm just going to be here. I'm going to be stuck in this state forever. And that's not true. That's what we need to get the point across to so many young people. Because I see young people and I see them in this state. And it's troubling. And in the days when they should be begin to grow, they begin to get put down. They begin to go the other way. And that's not right. And unless we know how to say the right thing in their situation, we can do a lot of harm. We can do a lot of harm in a young person's life if we handle their situation the wrong way. And the worst thing you can do is just kind of treat it lightly. Like it's no big deal. Because listen to me. Every young person in their life, whatever is going on in their life at that time, it's a very big deal to them. It's a very big deal. At that particular time, there's nothing else in their life that matters to them except that particular thing going on in their life. And that's reality, folks. That's reality. And we can't just say, well, you go on and tomorrow will be a better day and treat that just like it's nothing. Like it's nothing to us. It might not seem like it's anything to us, and it might sound so trivial and so minor and so silly, and it's their life that we're talking about. Another state is an emotional state. And those, we see people in, you know, they're quick-tempered and they're sorry. Wear their feelings down on their sleeves. They're laughing 1 minute and crying the next. You ever done that? You ever had somebody say, that person's an emotional train wreck? Well, they're in an emotional state. They're in the state of emotion. Paul said he was in a state. We're in a state tonight. What state are we in tonight? If you don't know, find out. And I'll tell you tonight that I think there's a reason for you to be there. And I'll tell you tonight that as we go along, how that can be of benefit. The sixth state is that of the state of physical pain. And that comes with this body. If we're in this body, we're going to be in one time in our life, I think, without exception, I can't think there would ever be a person to live a long life and not have some kind of physical pain. I just don't see that happening. There's going to be some pain in this life, physically speaking, if it's nothing but a headache. We're going to visit the pain state, lost or saved. But listen, our Lord and our Savior, the pain we're in can never compare to the pain He suffered and endured. He was in a state of pain when they pressed those crown of thorns on His head. And we ain't talking about little blackberry burrs. We're talking about long thorns that crushed into the skull nearly. And we're not talking about a minor whooping on the back, but we're talking about chunks of skin and blood and near bone coming off His back as they beat Him nearly to death. And we're talking about the pain that He endured upon the cross when they nailed His hands and His feet. And we're talking about the pain of the spear that went into, or the sword that went into His side when water and blood gushed out. Now that's pain that we'll never know. So when we visit the pain state, we wasn't the first one. We won't be the last, but we can relate if we've been there. This next state we'll just talk about briefly, and that's the financial state we're all in and out of. You know, there's people that they've went from nothing and made tons of money. Brother Jeff mentioned this kind of this morning. And they would turn around and it'd be kind of like Lob was at back in the cave. They had nothing again. You can be in a great financial state or you can be in a state of financial poverty. But what are you going to do when you're in that state? That's the important thing. It's not whether or not you're in the state. That's not the issue. It's whether or not you're in it. It's what are you going to do when you are in it. Amen. That's what matters. That's the key issue. What matters most is what you do when you find yourself in one of these states. Paul said in these verses, he said, I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. Paul went from one extreme to the other. He was well off. He had society. He was well-to-do, well-educated. He was way up the ladder. He was all those things. And then he got to be an outcast because his trusting in our Lord and our Savior and preaching Him and Him crucified. And he went to the other extreme. He became a tent maker by occupation. When he wasn't preaching the gospel and taking care of all the churches and taking care of the things within and the things without and dealing with the daily affairs of all the people and them whining and crying and everything else going on. In the meantime, when he had time, he was making a little bit of tent work, trying to make himself a little bit of extra living. That's not a lot of wealth, I wouldn't imagine, in the fragmented time he used there. So he went from extreme to extreme. And sometimes people can do that in this life. They can be poor and they can be rich and vice versa. Now, there's two things that we need to remind ourselves when we're in these states. The first one is, why are you there? When you get in that state, don't. You can assess it. You can think about it. But the first thing you're better off to do is say, well, why am I here? Sooner or later, this is my firm belief. Sooner or later, you're going to cross paths by divine intervention with someone else that is in that state, and they're going to need you to help them. The reason you're where you are in your state is because somewhere in your life, somewhere, you're going to find someone that's there, and you're going to be able to help that individual. I don't care which state it is. There's a lot we didn't mention. It don't matter the state. The reason you're in it, one reason you need to know is to help you relate to it and deal with it is because you're going to cross paths with somebody that you're going to sit down with them and they're going to say to you, I'm this, I'm there. And you're going to say, you know what, I've been there, and let me tell you my experience. And that's going to help that individual more than you ever know. I fully believe there's a purpose for everything in our life. And when we know this, it helps us. Here's an example. Why would God put one of His children in a state of depression? For this reason. Because when that person comes along, whomever it may be, and they're there in that state, and trust me, they're coming. You might say, well, I'll never use this state. Yes, you will too. It don't matter which one. If you're in it, there's another person in it, and you're going to meet up with them one day. And you're going to be able to help them to keep them from turning to something to get them out of that state other than our God. They're gonna try to get out of the state they're in. They're gonna try hard. They're gonna try it by drugs or alcohol or something far worse. A lot of people take their life because they're in a state and they don't see no other way out. And trust me, there's other ways. And you're going to help them out by the grace of God. God's got us here for a reason. And it's through prayer. And it's by His grace that He allows us to do these things. Now, it's important to know these states. It's important to know why we're where we are. Look at Paul. He led by example. You know, Webster's Dictionary defines contentment as free from worry, rest of mind. Now, let's think about Paul for a minute. Here we find him and Silas and their company doing a good thing, casting out demons and preaching the gospel, and look what happened to them. Now, they got beat, humiliated, thrown in prison with the most serious
of charge. If the jailer let him go, according to what I read in history, then the jailer, it would have cost him his life. When you got a charge that you better keep him safe, if that prisoner left, the jailer was in for it. But Paul could have reacted in a lot of different ways, like we could. He could have whined. He could have cried. He could have wrung his hand. Why is this happening to me? He could have got in a state of depression. He could have got in a state of despair. Instead, he was singing and praising God and praying. Now, which state does that sound like? It sounds to me like the state of contentment. It sounds to me like, according to the definition, a state of rest of mind or free from worry. I don't see where Paul was worried one bit. I don't see where he was alarmed. He knew God had a purpose for him. And I can't take you to the chapter and verse now, but if I sat down and studied a while, I could. But there's a place in there that he knew he was going to Rome, and he knew nothing was going to happen to him until he got there, because the Holy Spirit had done told him. So he was not worried about himself. He was not concerned. Instead, his attitude was, I'm content. I'm praying. I'm singing. I'm praising God. And lo and behold, we know what happened. God created an earthquake, and the jailer thought they all escaped, and he ran down there, and he was about ready to kill himself because he knew that was going to be his end anyway. And Paul said, don't worry about it. We're all here. All them prisoners knew that. They don't even talk about all the prisoners and the results of them. But we do know, according to the Bible, the jailer and his household was saved that night. Brother Jeff talked about the influence factor. Paul could have influenced that jailer in a very negative way. He could have escaped and ran for his life.
But instead, he influenced him in a positive way, with being in a state of contentment.
Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6 and 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay, so no matter where we are, whatever, Paul said, whatever state I am in, he said, I have learned to be there with content. Let me read again. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Whatever state we're in, we need to be content. I live by that. I live by that. I don't care what happens tomorrow. I rely on that because that's from God's Word. And I know if it got Paul through that night, it'll get us through whatever comes in our life. But how does that come about? You don't just get it overnight. I can show you that in the Scripture. You don't wake up tomorrow in one of these states and you're automatically an old pro at it. That would be great if you could do that. That would be real nice. And we all know that to be the truth. But Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state. And you know what that tells me? It tells me he didn't know what to start with. It tells me he didn't jump into that first one and he was already a pro. He said, I have learned. How do you learn it? By experience and by time. Those are the teachers. You experience it. And time after time, you begin to learn as Paul did. First, we said there's a reason for us to be there. The second thing to know to help us, now we're talking about knowing why and helping us while we're there. And this is good to know. We're not going to stay there. God's not going to keep us in a place like that forever. He's going to keep us there so we can learn, so we can help someone, and He's going to move us on. Somewhere else. Might be in one of these others, but it don't matter, because we look back and say, you know, God got me out of that one. I'll stay here a while. I'll learn what I'm supposed to learn. I'll go to the next one. You go to Kentucky, you keep going. You're going to go into Indiana or Michigan, or you keep going. You're going to get into Canada. And if you keep going up past Arkansas, you're going to get into one of the western states. So eventually, when you're going to leave the state, if you're in it, then you're going to go into a different one. But we need to know. Well, that's good to know. That's important to know that. Well, how can we do all this? Again, rely on the Scripture. Verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can't do that. I cannot cope with any of these things. I just can't deal with it. As the old saying goes, I'd be sitting down, I'd be a basket case. But Paul said it. And we rely on everything Paul's relying on according to the Scripture, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And according to that, Paul said, through Christ, we can do it. And so, that's all we need to know. He will get us from there to there, point A to point B. Now, there's one other state, and we'll be coming to a close. Finally, if you take someone out here and you blindfold them, you put them in the car, and you take them for several hours, and you take them and set them out beside the road, you know where they'd be? They'd be in a lost state. They'd be in a lost, they wouldn't have no idea where they was. If there was no signs around, nothing there, just them and not knowing where they, that's where too many people are at tonight. They're in a lost state. They're in a lost state. And in order for them to get out of that lost state, they've got to come to Jesus Christ and be forgiven of their sins. And the first thing they've got to do is be led to Christ by us, by witness, by testimony, by prayer. And by the way, it's they that are lost, and it's not our Lord. I do not like for people to come up and say, so-and-so found Jesus last night. No, they didn't. He's never been lost. He's never been lost. So-and-so might have, the Lord might have found them, that lost sheep. But He's never been lost. He's never needed to be found. But these people that are blind, they're lost. They're in a lost state. They need to come and they need to find Jesus. And we've been there. We was there one time. We need to direct them by prayer, by witness, by testimony, and get them to our Lord and our Savior so that they can accept Him and be saved. And finally, our one question is, what state are we in tonight? If you're here and you find yourself in one of these states and you think that you didn't realize it, or you need prayer, or you need someone to talk to you, Brother Jeff will be more than glad to. I know anybody in this building that's not in a worse state will be glad to. I'll be glad to. Well, we'll stand together and we'll turn the service over to Brother Jeff, and they'll dismiss how they see fit.